Remember the Human Genome Project? The landmark government project to map all the genes in the human body? Now consider a far bigger challenge, a map of the entire architecture of the human brain. Your brain has nearly 100 billion neurons and trillions of synaptic connections, so the complexity is staggering. But that hasn't stopped a few intrepid scientists from trying to map what they call the connectome, the wiring between the brain's neurons. One of these visionaries is MIT computational neuroscientist Sebastian Sung. He's now written a book called Connectome: How the Brain's Wiring Makes Us Who We Are.
You could imagine a connectome as a map of a network, and I'd like to have people think about the back pages of airline magazines. You know, those airline route maps? If you replace each city by a neuron and every flight between cities by a connection between neurons, then you would have something that looks like a connectome, although your connectome would be the equivalent of 100 billion cities and thousands of flights leaving every city. Right now, we're focused really on small chunks of brains. Those of human brains would be great, but we tend to do our work mostly on small chunks of animal brains.
Even when you talk about something as small as a mouse brain, you still can't look at it as a whole. You have to go smaller and smaller and smaller, even to find the beginnings of this map, I suspect.
Yes, so all those connections between neurons, how are they made? You've probably seen neurons, and they are these funny-looking cells because they look like trees. They have very long branches. And those branches are like the wires of the brain. You could compare a brain to an electronic device. And the amount of wiring in your brain is really staggering. So in 1 cubic millimeter, there might be several miles of those branches of neurons. And inside your entire brain, there are millions of miles of branches. So it's an incredible tangled up mess of wires in there. Think about the back of your stereo, but multiply that by a big number to get to millions of miles.
Is it disturbing to you to think about the back of your stereo? I know that when I've hooked up stereos, it is not all that hard to put one wire in the wrong place and come up with a disaster.
You bring up another issue, which is that of miswiring. So let's consider certain psychiatric disorders like schizophrenia or autism. People have tried very hard to find evidence of pathological neurons inside the brain. Could there be dying neurons the way there are in Alzheimer's disease? And that's not typically found. So the theory has emerged that perhaps the neurons are fine, they're just wired up in an abnormal way.
How difficult is it to begin this kind of wiring mapping?
Well, we have to have images of the brain that are extremely high resolution, and that's provided by a means known as electron microscopy. That's the keenest microscope that we have. We also have to slice brains. These are dead brains. We have to slice them into extremely thin slices, 1,000 times thinner than a hair. So if we image each of those slices and then stack them up together, we'll form a three-dimensional image, a kind of virtual brain in an image. Once we have those images, then we can trace the paths of the wires, and we can also identify the synapses. Those are the points at which neurons touch and also communicate with each other. If we can do both of those things, we could map connectomes.
Well, I guess that brings us to the real question of all this. Why are you doing this?
There are many approaches to studying the brain, and I would divide them really into three kinds of observations. Some neuroscientists study the activity of neurons, the signals that circulate between neurons as you think and you feel. Those are the signals that are most intimately related to consciousness. Then there are scientists like me who study the connections between neurons. And then finally, there are scientists who study the genes that control the processes inside neurons. We have to have all three of these to understand the brain. Now, why do I find connections so interesting? Well, experiences are able to change your connectome. They're not fixed in your adult life. So the metaphor of the wiring diagram is a little misleading because an electronic device is not subject to changes in its wiring typically. But your wiring, your connections can actually change.
The example would be, again, the stereo system. You're always going to connect left and right speakers to left and right outlets. The brain may say one day, I don't like that anymore. I want up and down. Or maybe it would sound interesting if both of them were on the same side. We're perfectly capable of changing things constantly.
That's a great metaphor. And indeed, it's believed that your memories are actually stored by changes in your connectome. Every time you have an experience, it leaves some trace of the past on your brain, possibly by modifying the pattern of connections in your head.
Well, let's take a look again at one of the little pieces that you're looking at. I've read that one of your goals is to actually see a memory. I think even saying that makes people think immediately of science fiction, but that's not fiction at all to you, is it? So what would a memory look like?
Well, a memory would look like some kind of pattern of connections between neurons. The example I give in the book would be the memory of your first kiss, let's say. And let's say that's an indelible memory. You never forgot it. Maybe the appearance of your fellow kisser. Maybe the particular room in which that happened, let's say. The music that was playing. Let's assume that all of those stimuli are represented in your brain by the activity of different sets of neurons. Now, one of the basic principles in neuroscience is that when neurons are activated together, the connections between them strengthen. So the neurons that are signaling the presence of your beloved, the neurons that are signaling the music that's playing, and so on, they become linked together by connections. There's empirical evidence for that. And even after the experience is over, those strong connections can remain inside your brain and store the trace of the memory. Now, how does it get recalled? Well, suppose you hear the music playing one day, the same music that happened during your first kiss. That activates a particular set of neurons, but those neurons are connected to all the other neurons that were involved in that experience, and they can awaken the other neurons to activity too. So that's the theory.
This all, as basic science, sounds extraordinarily exciting. You are looking long-term at more difficult and perhaps more practical applications. I know you have considered the effect that this may or may not have in helping us to understand what you've called miswiring, brain disorders. Is that an approachable goal?
I believe it is. It starts to strain your imagination a bit with psychiatric disorders. Can you really have a mouse model of schizophrenia? What's a psychotic mouse? Can you have a mouse model of autism? And yet, scientists are trying very hard, some of my colleagues are trying very hard to create such mice. One of the ways they do this is through genetics. So it's known that there's certain genetic mutations that can lead to autism. And you can take those gene variants and put them in mice and see whether the mice display any symptoms reminiscent of autism. It's an amazing idea, right? And the question is, can we find something different about these genetically altered mice's brains?
Sebastian Sung is a professor of computational neuroscience and physics at MIT. His book is called Connectome: How the Brain's Wiring Makes Us Who We Are.